Please turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis and chapter number 6. Let's talk a little bit about Noah's Ark tonight and the days around that with Noah and some things that are written in the Word of God. Now, what I'm going to do, because chapter 6, 7, and 8 cover a lot of details about the Ark and about the flood itself, and I'm not going to take the time to read all of those and comment on all of those verses, but we are going to look at the highlights of these chapters and hope that it will be a blessing to you. Genesis chapter number 6. I do want to correct something I said a few weeks ago about Noah's Ark. In my notes, in my studies, I had made a comment about the size of the ark. And Brother Elsie had came up to me after services, and I want any of you men to do so. If you hear me make a statement that you know is not true, or maybe it's a mistake, then I certainly am not offended when you come up to me and say, "Brother Roger, you might want to think about what you said or check that out." And he came up to me and said, "You know, Brother Roger, I don't think that ark was 3.5 football fields long." He said, "I think it was 1 football field and a half long." And I said, "Well, you know, I looked at my notes and I checked them. I said, and I had 450 yards written down how long it was." So I said, "I'll check it when I get home and look at my books." And so I looked at the books and it said FT. It didn't say YDS. And so I said, "Well, that's a football field and a half. That's not 3.5 football field. That's a pretty good difference." Amen. But it's still a big boat. Amen. But anyway, I apologize for that mistake. I do make them once in a while. I know Cindy's probably getting her calendar out. She's marking it down. But I do make them from time to time. I do. And I apologize for that, because I don't like making mistakes in the pulpit. I just don't. Genesis chapter 9. Matter of fact, I don't like making mistakes out of the pulpit either. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. I'd like for you to read with me there concerning some things about Noah's ark. And the Word of God says in chapter 6, verse 9, He said, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." I love that verse of Scripture. Noah walked with God. Like Enoch in chapter 5, he walked with God. I love men who have the courage and the faith to walk against the flow. I just love it. Verse 10, not like these modern-day athletes who are folding like a dove that's been shot. My word. Verse number 10, "And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." Now, as I read through these passages, I want you to understand something about God's mindset. That's my goal, is to always teach you God's mindset. No pastor, no preacher has the right to take a passage of Scripture and to speak to you about his mindset, but rather, what is it that the Holy Spirit meant when he wrote it, what he said? And so we want to try to do that. But let me explain something to you about the mind of the Lord here. I believe I can. I don't know all of his mind. No man does. I know a little bit about it, and I want to know more of it. But the emphasis here in the book of Genesis, the first few chapters here, is not on man's depravity in the details, but the emphasis is on God's details about delivering man and Noah, and even his condemnation of man and what he has done. The reason I say that is because you got 1,600 years of history here. And you don't have a lot of details of what went on in those 1,600 years. And then God then takes about 3 or 4 chapters and describes 1 year that occurs during all of this time, and that is the events concerning Noah and the flood. So I thought that to be very interesting. I think wherever the Lord puts emphasis, you need to start putting some emphasis as well. And so we have here, again, what God is showing us here. And let's read on. You know, depravity certainly did prevail in that day, and it was a very wicked time. God looked upon this time, and it's sad when he looked down upon it and said, man, you know, it grieves me at my heart that I have made man. And in the very thoughts and imagination of his heart was only evil continually. That's a sad statement about the first generation of man and generations of men on this planet. And so the scripture says here, it tells you something about the nature of God, tells you something about the nature of man. Okay, so it was a corrupt atmosphere. According to verse number 11, it says the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Filled with violence. So you get a little bit of news and you see the rioting and the destruction and the corruption that is taking place now. That would be just probably just a little bitty taste of what it was like in the days of Noah. And the scripture here says, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of, the length of the ark, which shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. Now again, how many of you have gone to see the ark that's been the replica? Wow, man, a bunch of you have gone to see that. So you're probably thinking about this as I'm reading through some of this. Amen? And one of our fine young people here in the church here, one of our seniors that just graduated, gave Cindy and I a gift to visit. They purchased the gift and even going to pay for our motel to visit the ark. Isn't that a blessing? I mean, you ain't got so good to me and her. And I appreciate the kindness of our people and you loving on us. But one of these days, I'll be able to say, I saw what you saw. Amen. But here it is, 3 stories high. And you understand that there was no problem for God to get all of his animals in this building. Is that correct? Based on what you have seen. But I believe it and hadn't seen it. I just believe what the scripture said. But you believed it before you saw it, didn't you? Amen. And the scripture says here in verse 17, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of people have a very difficult time accepting this side of God, meaning the fact that he is holy and just and righteous, and he brings judgment and vengeance after he has shown much grace and mercy. And when men reject that, then God brings the hammer down. The book of Romans, I think Paul said that there is that good side, and there's that the goodness of God, and there is the severity of God. And so the scripture says, he says, behold, I, and there's where God steps up and says, hey, this is me doing this. I am doing this. This is not some kind of a freak of nature that's a fiction to occur here. I am doing this. He said, behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. There is no way really to articulate how horrific that event is right there, that statement. Every toddler, every teenager, every infant, every animal that you may like or dislike, everything God says that has the breath of life, he says, I'm taking it off. That's it. And the scripture says in verse 18, but with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Again, we live in such a warped generation that is offended by that very statement of God establishing the genders of animals and of humans. And there are only two. It is male and female. And I am so disappointed in our Supreme Court this past week and some of the things that they passed concerning what employers are going to have to deal with and what churches are going to have to deal with down the road. And I warned you about this when we were studying in the book of Esther, that they would use legislation to bring persecution against preachers and against the church of God and even against some of you in your business concerning the LGBTXYZ movement that is in America. And the Bible says here, and listen, I'm just thankful that God had mercy on my life, brought me underneath the sound of the gospel, allowed me to hear what Jesus Christ saves, and saved me at a young age, and gave me a book that is true, that I can get my brain rearranged and think right and know what is right in this day and hour in which we live. This world is crazy. It is mixed up. They don't know which way is up and down. And the scripture says here in verse number 20, of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee. Now that's a blessing. He didn't have to go get them. What a testimony this is. You're building a boat. And the Bible says that Noah moved. He was warned and he was moved by fear. God warned him, and by fear he obeyed God, and by faith he obeyed God and built this huge boat. Can you even imagine the ridicule that this man and probably his boys faced as people, and probably some of the people that he hired and were building this ship, and they are saying, "What are you doing?" And he kept telling them that the judgment of God is coming upon the earth. And according to what Jude said, they mocked him. Enoch said that God one day would bring vengeance upon those who mocked him and who mocked the things of God. And the Bible says here, as these animals came unto him, and he brought them to keep them alive. In verse 21, "And thou shalt take unto thee of all food that is eaten, thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. And thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Now, there are several things that you see here. You see here, again, how that depravity prevailed eventually in society. That darkness has spread. That man is not good by nature, but he is evil in his nature. And he needs the grace of God. He needs to be born again. He needs to be changed. Doesn't mean that some evil people don't do some good things, but it means that they ultimately are evil without the grace of God, and they need the grace of God in their lives. The world was wicked, corrupt, violent, and you see God preparing Noah and his family for being delivered from the wrath of God. Now this destruction that's coming, we could call it punitive destruction. It is punishment for sin and wickedness. So let's read a few more verses about this. Look with me in chapter 7. "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female. And of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female." You see how many times he says this? He says it again in verse number 9, the male and the female. He says it again in verse number 16, the male and the female. I want our young people not be intimidated by what is going on in our society and the weirdos and the perversions. You don't have to back up for what you believe and what you are and what you know based upon the Word of God. You don't have to do that. There would be no people on planet Earth if we followed some of the things that they propose. My word. Tell them to go into cattle business and try to make a living based on their philosophies. Amen. No kidding. All right. And so the Bible tells us here that God says, all right, bring all these in. And verse 4, here's the warning. Now it's getting down to a week before the storm comes. And the Bible says, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. So a week in advance. Can you think that maybe Noah's preaching might have even had a more of a sense of urgency, as there is just a week left before God begins to bring something upon the earth that the earth has never seen before? Because according to the book of Hebrews, he was warned of God of things not seen as of yet. And so these storms that were coming, this rain that was going to fall, was something that was totally foreign to what they had experienced. Very much like when you hear a preacher get up and begin to proclaim to you that the Lord is coming back and one day we shall be taken and that we shall meet the Lord in the air. We call that the rapture. That word is not used in the Word of God, but there will be a gathering together to meet the Lord in the air. And that's never happened before, and people laugh about it. They say it shall not be. But the Bible says here, let's read on quickly here, and I'm going to skip through this and comment on it, and then we'll be done. But this is a horrible time on the earth. The whole world is almost, you might say, God's taking the planet and he's putting it inside of a washing machine. And he is fixing to turn it on full blast, and that thing's going to be staying in there for 371 days. That's a long time from the time that Noah, I'm talking about from dry land to dry land. I'm not talking about the time that it rained. I'm not talking about the time that the storms fell upon the earth. I'm talking about from dry land to dry land. From the time he got in the boat to the time he got out of the boat was 371 days. That's a long time, amen, to be in lockdown. Amen? And this was a sin virus. It was not a COVID-19. It was a sin virus. And it was contagious. And it was deadly. And the Bible says here, and yet 7 days, he says, I'll cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days. And 40 nights. You know what? We have only had a little bit of a glimpse of the horrific power of water and what it can do. Even Harvey, as it sat over here and cycled over us, we saw how quickly that water can rise and the fierceness of it and what it can move and what it can destroy and what it can do in just a few days. How it can rearrange the topography. And here it is now for 40 days and 40 nights. When men tell us about how this was formed and that was formed, such as the Grand Canyon, you know, I honestly don't think that little river in the middle of that, over a period of billions of years, caused that to eventually eat down on that rock. And I do think they have a hard time also explaining the fact that there are some seashells and other artifacts of that nature that are high up on these mountains as if these mountains had been covered by water at some time. Wow, what a coincidence. Certainly it wasn't some caveman up there eating crawfish, was it? I think not. I think that God planted evidence everywhere on the planet of His judgment and His destruction upon man, if they would simply be willing to acknowledge these things about the Lord. And the Scripture says here that, let's read on here. Verse 4 says, for 7 days and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. I can't believe that pleases God to have to say that. But He says, I'm going to wipe it clean. Now, we read this morning in the book of Malachi, the next time He does it, it'll be with fire. The first time is with water. The second time will be with fire. You need to fear God. You don't have to understand Him completely to fear Him, but you ought to fear the Lord. You ought to choose to fear God. And the Bible says here in verse number 5, and Noah did according to all the Lord commanded him. You realize this took a while. I'm not talking about the 7 days. I'm talking about the time it took him to take the first board and start laying out the measurements and start building everything that he had to methodically, skillfully do everything as God commanded him to do. And by faith, he did this, believing that God was going to do exactly what he said. Now, I'm with you, Brother Scott, when you asked me a while back, how is it that only a handful of people got on that boat? I cannot answer that question. I cannot comprehend that. I can tell you what Jesus said, and we'll read what Jesus said about it. If you ask yourself, and do you realize, I have read articles where it says that some Christians in America do not believe the book of Genesis. And I say they must not really be Christians. You know why? Because Jesus quoted the book of Genesis. And if you don't believe what Jesus said, then you don't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can call yourself a Christian, but don't tell me that you are one. You can call yourself whatever you want. That doesn't make you what you are. You can sleep in a garage at night, and it doesn't turn you into a car. You understand? God is always telling the truth. God cannot lie. Verse number 6 says, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters was upon the earth. Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. It talks about the beast and all the different ones that came in two by two, as God said that it would, as God had commanded him to do so. Verse 10, and it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. I wonder what some of that crab was thinking when the waters began to creep up. I wonder. Verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. So you're looking at a very cataclysmic event. You agree? We're talking about the whole world is really reeling and rocking and breaking apart almost with the water that's coming from inside of it and above it. We're talking, just a cataclysmic event. And the Bible says the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wives, and three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, every fowl of his kind, every bird of every sort. Man, you're talking about really just living in a zoo for about a year. You're just being a zookeeper for about a year is what you're doing. That wouldn't have been too bad, I guess. And the Bible says in verse 15, as they went into Noah into the ark, two by two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded them. And I love this verse here. And when they all got in the boat, and when the timing was right, Noah did not close that door. But rather the Bible says, and the Lord shut him in. Now that's a type. There are types in the Scriptures. It is a type of when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you are placed into Him and the Holy Spirit seals you in Christ. What a blessing that is. I don't think that when God shut that door up, that Noah was chewing on his fingernails and said, boy, I sure hope we make it through this storm. I hope God knew what he was doing when he built and told me how to build this boat. I sure hope it can withstand the judgment of God. I don't think he had a peg in the side of the wall he was hanging on and said, boy, I sure hope we make it. Boy, I sure hope I make it. Boy, I sure hope I make it. Man, I'd hate to have a salvation like that. That I don't wake up every morning and say, boy, I sure hope I can endure today, and I hope I don't mess up too bad and lose what God has given me. I hope I don't have to lay down at night and wonder whether or not I'm saved or not. Man. And the Bible says here that the Lord shut him in. Now, how big is that door? I don't know. But I know one thing. God shut it and God sealed it and they made it. And the Bible says in verse 17, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. And yes, there were hills. And yes, there were mountains before the flood. Some folks questioned that, of whether it was, whether it was just a flat surface. But it wasn't. They did have hills and they did mountains. And the scripture says in verse 20, 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains, you see that in verse 20? The mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl, of cattle, of beast, of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. Every man. Malachi said this morning, when the wrath of God comes, it comes upon the proud. It comes upon the arrogant. Those who've been warned and who mocked God and didn't have time for God. Not everybody mocked Him. Some people just didn't have time for Him. The Bible says in verse 22, and all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and all that was in the dry land died. Every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man, cattle, creeping things, a fowl of the heaven. They were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive. And the scripture says, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. That's before they began to recede. I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew for just a moment. Just show you some New Testament connections to this, and then we'll be done. Turn with me to Matthew 24. Then I want to show you something in Luke 17. All right, Matthew 24. Are these events that we're reading, are they true? Are they reliable? Are they accurate? I would say that with a hearty amen. Yes, absolutely yes. And even Peter wrote about it and said that that God judged the earth with the waters. And the Bible says here in Matthew 24, look with me in verse number 32. Jesus is talking here now about the last days. And he says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. He's referring there to the coming of the Lord. And we believe, most of us Bible believers believe in verse number 32, that he's referring to the rebirth of Israel when it became a nation once again. And the generation that saw that happen will be the generation that will be experiencing the last days of the last of the last days. Verse 34 says, and verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. This is being Father's Day. I want to throw this in here before I go on. That Jesus honored his Father by simply saying that my Father knows some things that I don't. You ought to remember that. You ought to be willing to admit that. Amen? And there's some things your Father's not going to tell you till it's time to tell you. Amen. All right, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, he's assuming that they believe the recording of Genesis. Why would he pull that out if he did not think that they believed it? But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. There's nothing sinful about eating and drinking and giving in marriage. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark. The problem in verse 39 was, and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. All right, look at Luke 17 with me real quick. They had no discernment of the times. They were not listening to the warnings that were being given. They had no time for God, and they were too busy living their lives that they weren't thinking about the next life. You say, well, is that important? Do you remember? And this is a very true story. You can look it up. You can Google it. Look it up. Of the man who made a trip to Alaska, to the tundra. He was a reporter. And he wanted to write a book. He wanted to take pictures and he wanted to kind of make a name for himself. And so he was going to spend some time in the tundra. And he got all of his gear together. He got all of his stuff together. And they dropped him there in the tundra of Alaska. And he lived there for a while. And he was keeping records of how beautiful everything was. All the animals he saw. All the events that took place. Everything. And he was there alone. And then as the weather began to change, he began to realize that he made a huge mistake. And that huge mistake was that he had planned for being there, but he did not make plans to leave there. And he forgot to coordinate with another group, with the folks of exactly where he would be. And so in his manual, and they found it, it went from being a glorious time to a horrific time as his days grew down of where he knew that he would not survive. And I'm telling you that a lot of folks are so busy living, they're making no plans for departure. They're making no plans for leaving here. And if you make no plans for leaving here, it's going to be a horrific end for you as well. Now watch this. Look at Luke 17 and look in verse number 26. And the Bible says this. And this is the danger, young people, of following a crowd or, you know, to evil. You don't need to get caught up in what is popular. You need to get caught up in what is true. All right, Luke 17, and the Bible says in verse number 16, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. There was no deliverance. They destroyed them all. Verse 28. See, God keeps score different than we do. They may think that the devil won because the majority of them were destroyed, but God doesn't keep score like you and I do. And the Scripture says in verse 28, likewise. And by the way, the fourth quarter hadn't come yet either. Verse 28 says, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot. So he's assuming they believed the book of Genesis. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. We do that every week, every month. We do the same thing. But do we get so busy that we don't have time for God? That we don't prepare ourselves to meet the Lord? And the Bible says in verse 29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. It will be a horrific day for many, the day of judgment. So I encourage you tonight, as you read through your Bible, it ought to stir your heart to believe that there is a true and living God. You may not comprehend Him. You may not even be able to, what you think sometimes to your friends, defend Him. But listen, God is not worried about you defending Him. He just wants you to declare Him. And you just speak the truth and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Because while they're chattering, while they're mocking, there comes a time of when they have to lay down at night and they have to face their thoughts and they have to deal with their conscience. If they're not doped up and on some kind of loud music, they have to face their thoughts. And your words can have impact upon their hearts and upon their minds. I'd like to be like Noah and take my family with me. wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to take your family with you to heaven? That's the only thing that you can take with you is your family and your friends that you witness to, the folks that you lead to Christ. I hope and pray that you will believe the Word of God, and I do believe tonight that we serve a God who always warns man before He judges man. And I'm grateful for that. What a gracious God. He doesn't have to do that. But even in His warnings, they paid no attention to it. And sometimes what happens with us, we get used to the dark. We've heard this thing about the rapture. We've heard this thing about the mark of the beast. We've heard this thing about the Antichrist. And no doubt people have taken it and sensationalized it to the point of where that we don't think it's that big a deal. And sometimes things can happen to you right in front of you. Don't realize it's going on right in front of you. I pray that you'd be sober, vigilant, find yourself to be in the will of God when the trumpet sounds. You keep looking, you keep watching, you keep waiting, and you do exactly what the Lord has told you to do in the process while you're waiting, while you're watching. Don't get so caught up that you're too busy for God. Here you are tonight. Thank God for you in the house of the Lord. Thank God for you. Most of you are here regularly in the house of God with your Bible open, because you want to learn about the things of God. God bless you, but you are in the very, very small minority. But I pray that you'd press on. And don't let anybody pull you out of the will of God and the house of God in these last days. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'll bless the preaching and teaching of the Holy Word. We're grateful for it, the truth found in it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, you are dismissed. God bless you.